Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
So, I just wanted to kind of diffuse any sense of condemnation if anyone is listening.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with the Reverend J. John on how you and your spouse can pray together.
But we got into this routine and practice of praying in the morning and praying in the evening. And if I just quickly run through how we do it. We wake up in the morning, we have a hug, we pray the Lord's Prayer. That's what we do. And what's great about the Lord's Prayer, in it is that line, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." It's so good just to kind of make sure there's no unforgiveness there, because unforgiveness is very toxic.
Hear more from J. John and his wife Killy about how prayer can help your marriage at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Wine Country Theater presents, and the winner is, a very funny modern-day morality tale that spoofs Hollywood and all of our crazy ambitions. Tyler Jones, a self-obsessed movie star, is finally nominated for an Oscar, but dies the night before the awards. Can he negotiate a return to Earth for the big night? Wine Country Theater's, and the winner is, April 10th through 26th. For tickets, go to winecountrytheater.org, winecountrytheater.org. Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Rest of the story. The most haunted house in town, it's been called. Well, it is one of the oldest, and its echoey interior and shadows that sprawl in ominous shapes at night suggest the presence of guests unseen. Or maybe this was once said of storied Hill House, the old place was just born bad. Reason I say is, during construction, carpenters were vaulting the ceiling in one room when their foreman got into an argument with the architect. The foreman, John Lenthal, insisted that certain braces were superfluous, and he was just starting to remove them when the ceiling came down. Lenthal, crushed under the debris, with his dying breath, uttered a curse on this dwelling and all who would cross its threshold. So no one who knew of that disturbing event was much surprised when, not long after construction was complete, the demon cats arrived. Oh, it looked like an ordinary domestic black cat when first encountered in the hallways in the midnight. Yet as it silently drew nearer, it seemed to grow and grow and grow till, grown gigantic, it was looking down with fearsome eyes on the unfortunate who had discovered it. Little wonder this place, darkened in the shadow of John Lenthal's curse, came to be called the House of the Demon Cat. And ghosts otherwise? Oh my, yes, if you believe the chilling accounts that persist to this day. Some phantoms are merely heard, like the one whose footsteps in a particular room have startled so many for so long. And two other alleged spirits whose long ago labors in the basement appear not quite to have concluded. There are those whose nearness is felt by an otherwise inexplicable damp cold lingering in a certain doorway for generations, or by an invisible foot that tries to trip folks on marble stairs still stained by the blood of one murdered there. Then, of course, there are the apparitions. Legions of them, they say. Like the old man who walks at the same hour each night enveloped in a blue haze. Or the fellow who died there one New Year's Eve only to return again and again to his favorite chair in his favorite room. But none is more terrifying than the demon cat. the only specter ever to stalk those cursed halls, actually documented to have frightened one of its discoverers to death. The house of the demon cat. You may visit if you wish, if you dare. Anyone in Washington, D.C. may direct you to the most haunted house in town, wherein cryptic creatures prowl and statues dismount their pedestals and dance, and statesmen, great and small, just don't know when to quit. Even still, I'm told the unmistakable, unexplainable paw prints of a cat may be found embedded in the cold stone floor of that worldwide recognizable domed edifice known as the United States Capitol. And at such an artifact, we'd wonder all the more did we not know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
And good afternoon and welcome back to Sound Off. Real quick before we get going, I would check out, if you've been following this dark money with Jimmy Paulding, I'd check out Calco's News. There's an interesting article, and you know, I kind of teased it the last hour, but you know, one thing that's interesting to me, I think it was Jimmy's first campaign, his treasurer is actually the treasurer of this dark money campaign. And you know, honestly, my opinion is I don't mind dark money. I mean, this is actually a person, people, I mean, not that they can't be recognized who they are, but you have the right to put a correlation together and try to get somebody elected, or to say, hey, I don't want this person and I'm going to put money into not doing that. It's just interesting when we do find out who the players are. They're all Jimmy supporters and have been from day one. And some of them originally, you know, threatened Lynn Compton that if you don't get behind this, I'm going to do everything I can to get Jimmy elected. And they did that. And now, you know, we're to believe, because, you know, the thing about these PACs is they can't have anything to do with the person running for office. So they can't talk. They can't say, hey, Jimmy can't call them and say, hey, do this. Or, hey, I think you should put money into this. There can be no connection. And it appears like there could be a connection. It doesn't say there is. It doesn't mean they have colluded, we'll say. You know, that was a big thing a few years ago, collusion. But if they did, that would be illegal for sure.
Well, one of the other things on that is the fact that you're going to be voting on things. And if you're getting contributions over a certain monetary amount,
you're basically
paying for your
it's a workaround, actually. Yeah. That is a workaround, because you know, if I donate to Greg and he's running for office and it's over a certain amount, I think it's 250, or
it was 250, and I think it's up to 500 now,
then he can't vote on any of my projects. But if I start a PAC and I help Greg can now vote on my projects, because I'm not giving him money. I'm spending the money myself. So it's interesting what's going on.
And that was the situation with Gibson receiving over $60,000 from these same people that sit on his quote-unquote water authority board that are going to participate in certain things, but now they're just trying to figure out how to tax other people. But as soon as he was able to, when he came back, what did he do? He took Debbie and Arnold and John Pashong off the board, put himself on the board, then gave away the chairmanship of the board to the guy that gave him $9,000.
Right.
And here you go. You got their own little group of the people that were all the donors to him. And what have they done in 10 years?
Right. Nothing. A whole lot. And with that, I think we should get into this. I think we have Greg Graywall. I'm sure all of you recognize his voice. He's on here quite a bit. And probably the real authority when it comes to water here in North County, at least as far as knowledge goes. And I think we have two important things coming up to talk about. One's happening today, and one's happening, in a week and a half or so?
Yeah.
At the Board of Supervisors.
4 p.m. this afternoon. At the The Norris Room. No, it's the Norris Room at that other little park where the
school. Oh, Centennial?
Yeah.
Okay, Norris
Room. So they're still using the Norris Room. So the meeting's at 4 p.m., and this is the Paso Basin quote-unquote water authority that anointed themselves.
So I'm going to put this out here. If you're listening right now and water affects you and you have free time at 4 o'clock, listen to this show. Take some notes and maybe show up and say a couple words, because that's how you make a difference. You got to get involved. If they just have the same people, if it's Greg showing up, if it's Murray, and they just see the same people, you know, they start, while they have to listen, they just say, oh, it's just the same people complaining, you know, whatever it may be. We need people to show up. They need to see new faces. That's what makes a difference and speak.
Yeah, the hard part about it that people don't realize is, and they will tell you this right at the beginning, we're not here to answer questions. We're not here. You get your 3 minutes on all the different subjects, and you say your 3 minutes, and they sit there and look at you, and they may or may not, at some given time at the end, answer one. But normally, they don't answer any questions, because if they get into dialogue with you, then you have the opportunity.
You get to extend that 3 minutes.
Exactly.
But basically you're making your comments. I don't like X, Y, and Z. Why do we need this? Da, da, da. And we're going to go over some things that have been happening. And, you know, realistically, you know, they had an election, or they not an election, but we had a vote, and it got, you know, they lost again, and now they're working on another workaround.
Yeah, so Proposition 13. That happened in 1978, reduced or kept your taxes at a certain level. So then the agencies, different agencies, were still trying to figure out, how do we put taxes for certain things on your property tax bill? Oh, we'll call them a fee. So that's where Proposition 218 came into play. Okay, you can add it on there, but the people get to vote. The difference is it's a vote of protest. So if you don't protest, you're an automatic yes. And they thought they had it in the bag. So even their own members of these two fake water districts and these groups that were trying to do this, their membership voted against them. And they sent the notices to the people they wanted to. So even if you don't get the notice, and they'll say it was an accident, that's an automatic yes.
Right.
So to make Proposition 218 tougher, they came up with Proposition 26. Now, Proposition 26 is what they're trying to use right now. And if you meet one of the seven conditions, then they can call it a fee, and they don't have to have a vote. So they're thinking they're going to be able to call it a fee so that you don't get to vote, and they're still going to come up a way to measure your water use by ET, evapotranspiration. They're going to make a phone call to God. He's going to tell them how much rain came on your house, or what you used in irrigation-wise, and then they're going to try to attach this to your property tax bill. And if you don't pay that fee, then they're going to charge you a penalty. But Prop 26 only allows collection of money under that fee notation for administrative costs. So no projects can be completed, which is what the groundwater plan is about. Those are projects, not administration. And so if you can't do projects, why do you need a group? Why do you need to collect a fee till you can sit around? So why do you need $600,000 a month, $5,000 a day to have a group that can't do anything to push whatever is in the plan forward? And here we are. The plan was developed, the groups had to be developed by 2017. The law was formed in 14, was passed in 15. 17, by July 1st, you had to be a groundwater agency. And then by 2020, we had to give them the plan under the guise that we were a highly overdrafted basin.
But we haven't done that, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, no. But we gave them the plan. The plan finally got approved in 23. And so here we are.
So we've done the requirements.
We've done all the requirements.
And so I'm now, sure there's some kind of, like, we have to prove we're doing it, right?
Well, that's what these annual reports are showing. How are you progressing on the plan that we approved? And so if you can't do anything in the plan, And they picked all the things that wouldn't work anyway. They didn't do the easy things. They didn't do the certain part of outreach. How do you have outreach when you never have a groundwater sustainability agency meeting at the county and the county's your representative? How is that outreach?
Right.
They bought you a sandwich at some other workshop meeting because they wanted to convince you to vote for the 218 process and tax yourself on something for no reason.
Right. Right. So, you know, these sustainability, when we're putting these reports together, that yearly, that bi-yearly,
So there's an annual report. So we've done 9 of them. So every year, there's different parts of the report that are exactly the same. So it's a 150-page report that costs $100,000, and 90% of it is the same report from the previous year with a new column for that year's measurements.
And who has to pay for that?
Those agencies. So every agency that wanted to be a groundwater agency, that wanted to be part of this group, claimed that they would pay a certain percentage of whatever these bills were.
Okay.
So if you live in the city limits, you're part of the groundwater agency of Paso Robles. If you decided to join the San Juan Water District, or if you decided to join the Estrella El Pomar Water District, those were opt-in districts, then you were voluntarily paying to be part of their group besides paying your taxes. So I already paid taxes to have the county manage things. They already have staff members I'm paying for with my property taxes. They've already taken millions of dollars from the state of California, which are my tax dollars also, to do these things under grants and different stuff. And I brought some documents I wanted to go over, and we can do it when we get to it, just so I can read to you, to show you the kind of money that they've received and that they've done nothing, and how they manipulated the agreements on what they could claim was in-kind money. In-kind money is they had to spend so much to get a certain amount of the grant covered. So they were claiming in this thing that they came up with a way that they spent over $1.5 million to get another $1.5 million to develop this plan. So they didn't even develop, they didn't even pay for the plan. We got the plan paid for with grant money, and they lied about the money of their contributions of what they did. You know, just to give you an example, San Miguel said for them to form their groundwater agency and to fill out the application cost just under $14,000. At the same time, the Shannon San Juan Water District, which doesn't deliver water, their groundwater agency says, first we had to become a water district, and that cost us $213,000 and change. Then the formation and the application cost us over $95,000. How can the same application and formation for San Miguel be less than $14,000, but for this water make-believe water district with 60 people, it costs over $95,000.
That's a good question. Yep.
And then Pastor Roll says, well, it cost us over $250,000 to become a GSA. They're already a city. They're already a water district. They have land use authority within the city limits. They have no authority outside of the city limits. Why do I want them making any determination over a basin that's 436,000 acres when they're 13,000 acres of it?
Right. Yeah. So what, you know, I always like to get to in this is, like, we have both past tense and moving on to the future. We have a plan. We have a way to monitor that plan. It's fairly inexpensive. It costs less than starting a water district, unless you're in San Miguel. And realistically, the county could manage that.
They were supposed
to. The flood district could probably get those things done within their own budget.
The groundwater agency was formed under the Water Conservation Flood Control District of the county, and the Board of Supervisors acts as the board of the Flood Control Water Conservation District. Almost all the grants for basin projects all come through the Water Conservation and Flood Control District. They were taking the money from that budget for everything. They took money out of their budget for the portion of 6,000 acre feet of space for the Nacimiento pipeline for 6 years. So we used water conservation tax money from the county to pay for 6 years of Nacimiento pipeline at $1.2 million a year, $7.2 million, And then we gave that 6,000 acre feet of space to these groups that never paid us back that money, but they want to tax you more.
Right. Well, it must be nice. I don't know. So, you know, I guess, you know, if you were to tell somebody, and I want to hit this a few times as we go through the show, what would, you know, if I'm Joe Blow, I don't, you know, I've been paying attention, but I don't know what you know. What would you want them to go in there and say if they needed some ideas, like, hey, I want to go into this meeting this afternoon, but I don't know what to say?
Well, I would just ask them point blank. Because you're going to get the deer in the headlight look, and you're going to get that cricket noise, chirp, 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 chirp. I would just say, please explain to me what progress you've made on the groundwater plan. I don't want to hear about consultants. I don't want to hear about your workshops. I don't want to hear about anything other than, are you pumping less? Are you pumping the same? How many wells are being measured? Are you actually going to the nearest? There's one area in the El Pomar area. The water level there has dropped 300 feet. It all started when the Hardem Ranch, which is one side is El Pomar, one side is South El Pomar, one side is Neal Springs. And when that 800 acres was developed by Justin Winery with vineyards and four large ag ponds that equal 200 acre feet of water, that's constantly being filled, the water in that area went down 300 feet, and 27 wells have been replaced all around it.
Right, and the one thing interesting about that property is those holding ponds are large, shallow holding ponds. So I've been in ag, you're out on a ranch, etc. If you're going to have a holding pond, usually you want it as small and as deep as possible, because you want the least amount of surface area with the most amount of gallonage you can contain in there to avoid transevaporation. You don't want that all evaporating going into the atmosphere. So it's deep and small, not shallow and huge.
Right.
And I always thought when they were building that, I'm like, who in the hell is building? You know what I mean? And it bugged me. But anyway, we'll be right back with Greg Graywall, and we're going to be talking all things water here in North County. Stay tuned.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A volatile trading session with stocks accelerating losses before the closing bell and ending lower as investors look for clarity on Middle East developments ahead of a ceasefire deadline. Middle East tensions offsetting strong earnings. Former Fed Governor Kevin Warsh, President Trump's pick to lead the central bank, was in the hot seat today and testified before the Senate Banking Committee. Most all of the 11 S&P 500 sectors were in the red, with tech and industrials the worst performers, while energy was the only gainer. And United Health Group shares jumped 7% after the health insurer reported first quarter results that substantially beat Wall Street expectations. The Dow winners, United Health Group, Microsoft, and Caterpillar. The Dow decliners, Goldman Sachs, Sherwin-Williams, and Honeywell. The Dow falling 293 points, the Nasdaq lower by 144, S&P 500 down 45. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs, just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
And welcome back to Sound Off. My name's Eric Gorm. We have Greg Graywall here in studio with us. And, I kind of want to talk about something just maybe quickly. Is one thing, and we've heard this from Bruce Gibson in the past and whatnot, is, you know, these people, these overliers over in North County, they need to pay their own way. They need to, you know, get off the dole, get out the county teat, as it will. But, you know, when you look at state water, who's, you know, I know a final product, if you use that water, usually the town pays a certain percent to clean it, etc. But aren't we all paying for that state water to be here?
Yeah, so the state water to the county of San Luis Obispo decided from the beginning of the state water project that they wanted to be one of the contractors. So we're number 24 out of 29 state contractors. The first 35 years of the state water project, there was no coastal branch. So we paid for 25,000 acre feet of water.
The late 90s, I think?
Yeah, that could not be delivered until the early 90s. Into the 90s, they asked, okay, we're moving the water from Lost Hills up to the hill. Who wants to be part of the state water? Well, when you look back at the history of it, you go, well, it's not always delivered.
Right. We do have a call. Welcome to Sound Off.
Hello. What exactly can we do to fight this Prop 26? Or the 26 vote, whatever it's called.
Yeah. No, you're 100% correct. We're just going to have to complain, and we're going to have to make them prove that there's a benefit. If there's no benefit, it's not a fee. It's a tax. And okay, so they have to prove, and I don't know if that means, I don't know yet if that means, they're going to pick, they picked exemption number one, which doesn't really mean anything to most people, but to say that, well, they're using that to claim they can be a fee. They can't, there's no purpose for administrative costs for a general manager and an attorney for an organization that can't do any projects. So the whole benefit, their whole idea was, we want to form this other organization. And the reason they wanted to be a JPA instead of being part of the MOA, which MOA is a memorandum of agreement, that is what they did first. And they charged the state through this grant, claiming they spent $45,000 to put that organization together. And so they wasted that money. They didn't have the ability to tax you. They didn't want to pay their contributions that they said they were going to pay to be part of the management of the basin. And Bruce Gibson didn't want the county to pay for it, but he doesn't care if we pay for the state water for South County. He doesn't care if we take the Salinas River water that recharges the basin and we send it to South County through a pipe. So it's our watershed, it's our water. So what is the city of San Luis Obispo paying us for taking our recharge water? Why should I tax you to pay for something up here when you're stealing my recharge water to take to the city of San Luis Obispo? That's just a whole nother ballgame. But we have to force them to prove why this is a fee and not a tax. If it's a tax, they have to have a vote. If they have a vote, they know they're going to lose. Why are we spending more money after you lost the 218, which a monkey wouldn't have lost? Their own people voted against them because they never asked their own memberships, hey, do you want us to do this to come up with these funds? And so now what is happening with vineyards? We got properties being fallowed. Do we know how many acres are fallowed? No. Do we know what the actual pumping is over the basin? No. Aren't those two very important things to know what we're actually using and if we even have a problem?
Exactly. And are they actually fallowing or are they just wasting grapes on the vine?
Both, but now they're fallowing because the wasted grapes on the vine. They left them on the vine because they couldn't sell the product.
Right.
So they didn't want to harvest the product. They have no place to put it, nobody to sell it to.
Right.
And each organization, I would say, is slightly different. The one that I have photos of is the organization that's owned by a pension fund out of Montreal, Canada. They didn't come here to make wine. They come here for water futures. They wanted a historic use of water. They wanted to show that they were doing something so that they can claim later on when they do, this was the concept, when we do take our farming away, that we might want to transfer and move that water to some other use, claiming that we used it for this long, it's our water. We all have the right to the beneficial use of the water beneath our land,
right.
But that right is on your land. It's not for transfer, it's not for exchange, it's not for export, it's for
right.
beneficial use on that land. The water stays with the land, even though the state's in charge of it.
And does the Prop 26, it doesn't come to the people for a vote, because it can call it a fee instead of a tax, is that exactly right? And is that used in other aspects of government, Prop 26?
It has to meet one of the 7 requirements to be used that way. So I don't know how they're going to prove this. To me, they're going to have to prove that they meet this exemption, number one, which they're talking about. And like I said, if the purpose is only so that they can keep the lights on, this is their own terminology, to keep their, because their joint powers agreement in this quote-unquote make-believe water authority
right.
Can only survive if they have funding.
Sure.
So, but they don't have any funding to do projects. They only have, now they have funding in their own individual groups. And the reason that they originally got together was to share the cost of anything that was going to be done. Well, now they don't want to share the cost. They want to tax more to other people. So besides paying your property taxes and part of it going to flood control, which is supposed to be doing this job, if you wanted to belong to one of these districts, you're going to pay extra for that. Kind of like going
right.
to private school versus public school.
What they're getting isn't covering their paychecks,
right.
in other words, is what we're saying, yeah.
Right, we just keep hiring consultants and having
right.
workshops and having groups.
And not doing anything to benefit.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll be at the meeting, so I'll see you there.
thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
So, yeah, it's that's what I can't figure out, is what projects would we need them to do?
The main project that should be done is stormwater capture.
Okay, and that shouldn't be passed on to the city and the county to do? We need this group to do?
No, that should be part of flood control water conservation district.
What I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Shouldn't that be the county?
Yeah.
So I don't know I don't know what other projects. You know, if you want to do this on your property, go do it. You know, but if the county needs to do it or City of Paso or whatever.
Well,
why don't they pay to do it? And I think there's places right here in Paso you could do it for the city.
Yeah, shouldn't they step out of the way? If you want to build a diversion of some type, and you're not, that word is kind of tricky. Okay, you're not really diverting the water when you're slowing it up. They're still going to consider that a diversion. What you're trying to do is slow it up so it has time to absorb into the groundwater
right.
zone. Through the alluvial area. So if you looked at the river and you said, the river's 100 feet wide, but the water only touches a very small portion of the center of the river or an edge of the river. Now, if you were to have a low, either rubber or some type of a weir or a dam that was only a foot or so tall.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, we throughout the county, and I saw this years ago, I'm going to bring up a bad name on KPRL, but Kelly Gearhart did a project in Atascadero, and we had to put in, I was working for Michael Fredericks Paving at the time, we had to put these big retention basins that are just big, ugly retention basins.
Right.
So what did we do? Kelly goes, put a park in it.
Yeah.
And we can use it. 320 days of the year.
There's one over and if it Templeton gets too wet,
yeah, then you can't use the park. And all the furniture within that park, there's it's all concreted down. It doesn't move. It's, you know, metal tables, metal barbecues, etc. I can think of two places in Paso that have drainage running through them that you could stop the water there, let it fill up. They have little parks, or at least they did when I was younger. I haven't been to either one of these places in a long time. It fills up maybe every 3 or 4 years, you know, maybe it more, maybe less, but for the most part, it's going to fill up. It's going to soak into the ground. You still keep your drainage infrastructure in case it overflows.
Correct.
You know, but then you're actually putting water back into the ground.
Well, this is, yeah, and this is the whole deal, is to spread that, get it, let it have time to soak in, and you're putting it back. This is
but that should be government, in my opinion. That should be the county. It should be the city of Paso. But whether I don't care what city you're in, if that's what you want to do, and if that's what you want to do as the government mandate that it has to be done, and you pass the costs off to developers.
Correct. When that's the problem, too, with not cleaning your wastewater to the capability that it should be, to where you can recharge that. So whatever you're using in your community, your part of the basin, whatever you want to call it, I don't care where the water comes from. But if you don't treat it properly to where you can recharge it, now you're exporting it.
Right.
Now you're dumping it in the river. Everything that lands in the river, where does it go? It goes north, out of our county, into Monterey County, right, into the ocean, or somebody else gets the benefit of that recharge and the water that we pumped here that we sent somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at most of the rural landowners, should be all the rural landowners, they're on septic systems. So the water that they use through their houses is recharged through their septic system. So it's a complete circle. Whereas the water that's used in the city of Paso Robles, it runs through their houses, regardless of whether it's Nasi water, river water,
right,
Tascadero Basin water, Paso Basin water, it goes to their houses, then it goes from their houses to the sewer, it goes to their treatment facility, then it's dumped in the river, and it's exported out of here.
Right.
And so we have no benefit after the use of recharge.
Yeah, and these things aren't rocket science. I'll tell you to an extent, just quickly, where I live, there's two shallow, I would call them alluvial wells. They're not shallow wells. They're extremely shallow wells. And what's by each one of them? A holding pond.
Yeah.
They figured that out 100 years ago because this is an old property. Oh, we're going to dig this well, and that's going to be a real pain to dig this well 24 feet deep because that's what my wells are.
Right.
So they put a pond next to them. Guess what? It helps charge those wells. I mean, they've been doing it for hundreds of years. It's not something new.
Exactly. If they would allow the ranchers and the people in the watershed areas to do more stock type ponds, then they're for livestock, they're for wildlife,
right,
they're not lined ponds, they're not
right
ponds necessary to contain the water. They're there to slow it up. You capture a certain percentage and it allows recharge. You're going to get, if you have more of those, you're going to have more recharge over the basin.
Exactly.
And it's going to run underground how it naturally runs, depending on if we have another earthquake or not, or whatever happens.
Right.
All the water in our county flows, obviously, from the Santa Margarita Creston area north.
Right.
Everything on the east runs towards the river, towards the west. Everything on the west runs towards the river heading east.
Right.
Our water flows north. And there's certain areas that have better watershed, and they have higher water tables.
So before we go to the break, which is coming up, I mean, is there, you know, I'm kind of saying, why do we need this group? And I haven't been able to figure it out. I mean, me and you have had this conversation for a long time, and on air right here. And is that a question? Like, somebody should go today? Like, why do we need that? Why do I want to pay you guys this? What benefit? I mean, they're not going to answer, but is that something to say tonight?
That should be 100% of what should be on the thing. What is the benefit of the group of 60 people in the Shannon San Juan Water District for their area? Why do I want them in charge of other parts of the basin? What is the benefit of now? Everybody that claims to be a water district, legally, you are what is known as an appropriator.
Mm-hmm.
An appropriator is in the back of the bus. The primary right, the highest right, goes to the overlier, which is the landowner, to the beneficial use of that water.
So I think the question to me is, not only why do we need you? But didn't we already make the decision that we didn't? And why are you going around that decision? I think that's something literally you should be asking. We made the, why do we need you? I thought we made the decision, and why are you trying to circumvent our decision?
Yeah, I can go all the way back, and I can just start at 2005 and go forward from there on. How many grants we've received for the county to manage things, claiming they were going to manage the things. So everybody is looking at it, well, the county's managing it. We just got another grant for this many millions of dollars. So are they just doing it to pay employees that don't perform?
Right. And I think these are a question that I just answered. It's a simple one to go there tonight and just ask. And if, it doesn't matter if 30 people ask the question. It gets the point across. But we'll be right back with the last segment of Sound Off. Stay tuned.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We moved from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Junior, you know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to slowcountyhearingaids.com.
What should you look for when choosing an insurance agent? Experience is a key quality. A good agent responds promptly. It gives you clear explanations, letting you know exactly all the details of your policy. And a good agent has good listening skills, and a good agent takes the time to understand your unique situation. A good agent, like Kevin Hunt Insurance, 105 South Main Street in Templeton. Call 805-434-3276.
Matt's Smog is more than smog. They do oil changes as well. And they offer unique oil services with supplemental oil additives and fuel system cleaners. Brake work and diagnostics as well. All vehicles receive a comprehensive 29-point inspection. But most importantly, there are no high-pressure sales tactics. Matt's Smog takes care of more than your car. They take care of you. Call 805-237-2601 or head to 834 Paso Robles Street in Paso for Matt's Smog and more.
Good afternoon, and we are back with Sound Off with Greg Graywall. Greg, I want to switch gears just a little bit because we have a Board of Supervisors meeting coming up, and one of the things on the agenda is something that's been talked about on here a little bit. There's this project over in San Miguel that doesn't seem to make sense to me because it's going to cost a fortune to get water there, let alone is there water to be had? You know, I think you're talking out of both sides. Not you, but they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. So if you could
This housing project is on 43 acres on Indian Valley Road, just over the bridge. And to the north, a little bit of San Miguel, it's still in their boundary of their CSD.
Is that where the old crossing was to go to San Miguel?
It was an airstrip. There was a little airstrip there and was used for crop dusting. So it's never been farmed. It's never had really a historic use of water, a current use of water. And so under the planting ordinance and the new development ordinance of the county, if you don't have an offset, you can't add something. So it was the county, the city of Paso Robles, San Miguel, that were claiming the basin's in overdraft. They say, well, the DWR says we're in overdraft. What that means is you're using more than the safe annual yield. So if you're using more than the safe yield, that means there's no surplus. If there's no surplus, that means that the agencies that are considered appropriators, those would be water districts, have to reduce or stop their pumping until they get surplus, because the landowners have the right to everything that's not surplus. So San Miguel is the only North County agency that doesn't have supplemental water. So they don't have any Nacimiento water. All their water is basin water. Well, if you're claiming there's no surplus, and you're claiming there's a problem, and you made yourself a groundwater agency, and you helped develop the groundwater plan, and the plan says to reduce pumping, how are you adding 188 homes to add more pumping to the basin? And why would the county planning commission approve this project, even if you need more housing, when you claim there's a problem in the basin? But everybody else tonight should somehow pay for the problem in the basin, but you're going to add 188 homes from San Miguel. Just forget about the names or the faces or the people. You either have a problem or you don't have a problem. If there's a problem, you can't add to that problem. They were all worried when Debbie Arnold wanted the small farmers to be able to use 25 acre feet of water that they had the legal right to, yet we're going to allow 188 homes on half of that 43 acres and another park and some other areas. And if they have water, then why are they claiming that there's a problem?
Right.
Yeah. Why did they take grant money claiming there was a problem and commit fraud? Because in my view, if you took money under the knowing that you didn't have a problem because you wanted those funds.
Right. So when is this? This is in a week and a half or so? Or?
May 5th is supposed to be. There is a rancher farmer that
appealed
the planning commission's. So the planning commission for the county has the land use authority, even though it's in San Miguel CSD. And San Miguel CSD, they said, well, we might be able to handle part of the first phase. There's four or five phases to this. But we can't handle any of the other phases unless we rebuild our sewer plant. And today's price is $44 million, and we don't have any money. So we need a grant for $44 million to start today. By the time they were to get a grant, if they got a grant, could be a few years from now. It'll probably be $66 million by then.
Well, then the question becomes, why do we want to pay for this? This grant money is tax money. So why do we want to pay to build these houses in San Miguel?
Exactly.
So good afternoon and welcome to Sound Off.
Good afternoon. I'm wondering if you could elaborate, Greg, a little bit on the 502 new homes that are being built in Paso Robles to be extended to 1,000 eventually, which have already been approved or pre-approved. Paso Robles is building more housing. They have the ability to expand their water treatment plant and use Nacimiento water, which was what we were told when we bought into the bond. And they're not doing it. They're building and not improving their water system with the addition of Nacimiento pipeline water. By the way, just in case people want to know, they're underusing the pipeline that we were told would be able to supply an entire city with water because they refuse to improve the plant. I want to know what's going to happen with that one.
Yeah, you're 100% correct, Cody, that the water, the supplemental water that the communities have around us other than San Miguel, they have water, but they're not treating it and they're not using it because it costs them more money, and they put that cost above the basin and all the other people that live over the basin. So why would you tax people claiming there's a problem when they have the water to use and they're not using it? So why aren't they forced to treat and use that water? According to the state constitution, like I was talking about, if there's no surplus water, if you're claiming the basin has a problem, you are mandated by law to use your other sources. And so this is why they filed the quiet title action and sued the landowners. Now, we filed quiet title to protect our land. They filed affirmative defenses claiming they had the right to trespass on us and take away our rights because they felt their rights were more valuable. We're getting ready for that last trial. We have a stipulated judgment that's coming up, And the reason you have a stipulated judgment is because all the discovery has already been found. It's not going to change, and we're going to win the last trial. We've already won five trials, and this is number six, and all the stipulated agreements. And when that's over, there's going to be 800 properties that fought for their rights for the last 13 years while the city was spending millions of dollars to try to take somebody else's water rights away or to try to infringe on their land. They could have been spending that money on developing a better way to treat their wastewater for recharge and a better way to use their Nacimiento water so they're not wasting it and giving it free to Monterey, because it doesn't just stay in the lake. It's a use-it-or-lose-it proposition. Their budget for this next year for the Nacimiento pipeline for the six people is just over $17 million. So they pay over $4 million, just Paso Robles does, a year for their portion of the pipe that they don't use. It can't cost that much more to use the water and save the water in the basin, then treat that water possibly and put it, recharge it, and you would be adding, without taking away from the basin, you would be adding another, use 5,000 of Nasi, clean it, recharge it, you just added 5,000 to the basin.
Right, and the recharge is not that difficult, and the cleaning process isn't that difficult, and originally that's what they wanted to do, and there was public outcry, I think, because people didn't realize the efficiency of recharge.
Yeah.
You know, which is unfortunate. Back then, we should have just did it from day one. Should have became recharge water.
100%. You wouldn't do this if it was your place. But they're using OPM, other people's money. Now they want to just keep jobs and studies and consultants and attorneys hired. You know, if they spend as much time on this as they do on the snowy plover, we wouldn't have any problems.
Cody, you got anything else for us? We're going to start hitting a time wall here soon.
The only reason I raise that question is simple, because we were told when we voted for the Nacimiento pipeline bond that this was enough water to supply the entire city of Paso Robles. I think it was 6,800 acre feet, something of that nature. We were told that by Mr. App, and we all believed him, and he was right to a point. The problem is that Mr. App is gone, and nobody in the city, none of them, have taken an issue with why aren't we using Nacimiento water when we've been instructed to do so, no less now by the state of California. You need to use alternative methods if you have them, and they certainly have it.
Yeah, so you don't really have a problem if all these agencies use their supplemental water supplies as part of the solving issue, if they want to claim. You got to remember, these agencies had to claim there was an overdraft because that was their ticket to sue us.
All right, Cody, we're going
to overdraft.
We're going to get going because I want to get a few dates and times out there before we have to wind things up. Thanks for calling. So tonight, we're talking
4 p.m.
4 p.m. Centennial Park.
Centennial Park in the Norris Room will be the Joint Powers Agreement Group called the Paso Basin Make-Believe Water Authority.
And that can be as easy as, what do we need you for? I thought we already voted that we didn't want you, and why are you trying to circumvent it? It can't be that easy. That's all, you could say those three things,
yeah,
and put the mic down and walk away.
Exactly.
And then we have this one in San Miguel going to Board of Supervisors on the 5th.
That's May 5th. That the Board of Supervisors, I don't really have a time, don't know when the it's going to be on the agenda. And that's an appeal that was filed by a rancher. And he's basically saying, why are you allowing this subdivision? Why you're asking the ranchers and the farmers that have the priority right for water in the area, why are you allowing new water use when you're telling us we have to reduce our pumping? And at the same time, you're trying to tax us to pay for this group that we don't need because you're adding pumping.
Right. Well, thank you, Greg. We did get a text earlier. I want to finish the show with that. It's Mark Twain. Whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. Have a great day, KPRL listeners. We'll talk to you soon.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.